Good to be here. We're thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here. We're thankful for everything the church has done to put on these services. We appreciate messages we've heard thus far. My subject is I Am the Way. I'd like to turn to John 14, verse 6, very familiar passage of Scripture. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What we read here took place on the Passover in the upper room of a house that had already been prepared for the observance of the Lord's Supper. We read that in Mark chapter 14. But on this particular night in that upper room, Jesus tells the apostles who 3.5 years earlier had, at the call of Christ, left their jobs, their homes, their families to follow Christ. And life had been good. Last 3.5 years for these men were very good. They had seen countless miracles. They had personally witnessed various healing miracles and people being delivered from demon possession. They had seen Jesus walk on water. They had seen Jesus calm the storm. They'd seen him feed over 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fishes. They'd actually seen him raise the dead. In the last 3.5 years, they listened to the greatest teachings ever spoken. Just prior to this, in John 14, they witnessed the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and the people lining the streets with palm branches and shouting, Hosanna to the King. But in this night, in chapter 13, to their absolute dismay, he tells them that he's going away. This, of course, speaking of his crucifixion. He went on to tell them that there would be one of their number that would betray him, and that Peter would deny him 3 times. What Jesus said in John 13 really put quite a damper on their mood, put quite a damper on their attitude, and began to fill them with fear and anxiety. And they are somewhat confused. And to them, everything right now is gloom. And then in chapter 14, Jesus proceeds to comfort them, to calm them, to put their minds at ease. He does so by reassuring them and encouraging them. And this goes on through chapter 16. He told them in John 14 to just keep on believing, to just keep on trusting him. And even though he was going away, he was doing so to prepare a place for them, and that he would come again and receive them to himself. He said in verse 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. This prompted the reaction of Thomas. In verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6, the verse we read for our text, is response of Jesus unto Thomas. And though he's speaking to Thomas, he's speaking in the hearing of all, and he's really speaking to all the apostles. And he says to Thomas, I am the way. I am the way. I'm going to, first of all, this afternoon, consider the tone of those words. I am the way. Keep in mind, throughout the message, that these words were spoken in reference to an object to be attained. And that is addressed in verse 6, coming unto the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when Jesus said, I am the way, it is spoken of in reference to coming unto the Father. And we need to keep that in mind. With that in mind, Jesus says, I am the way. When he spoke those words, the first thing he did was he called attention to himself. As soon as he said, I, that calls attention to himself. And then when he said, I am, he is now making a personal statement about himself. In other words, he's telling the apostles something of himself. He's telling them something about his identity. He's telling them something about his character. He's telling them something about his function. He's telling them something about his work as it relates to man and as it relates to God the Father and as it relates to man coming to God the Father. I am the way. That was a very bold statement. It was a very vivid statement. I am the way. That is an absolute statement. That is a very definite, a very certain, a very emphatic statement. I am the way. In the context of that statement, he says, no man. Focus on those two words, no man. No man cometh unto the Father, and then focus on the next three words, but by me. No man, but by me. This reveals that when he said, I am the way, was he not making a very exclusive claim? I am the way. That adjective, the, and also the phrases, no man, but by me, shows that this is a very exclusive claim. The widespread and general consensus, of course, of the day and the mindset of our society is to accept all religions as valid, to accept all ideas as having some worth, and that in the end all paths lead to heaven. But when Jesus said, I am the way, he sharply discredited that mindset. He sharply discredited that idea. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. With those words, Jesus made an unconditional statement. He said, I am the way. He added no alternatives. He simply said, I am the way. There was no other recourse offered. And there were no other options presented. He just simply said, I am the way. And all that today we would hear him say, I am the way. So much so that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But through me. Except through me. An unconditional statement. Jesus Christ, the Almighty. Jesus Christ, the Eternal. The Immortal One. The Immutable One. The Infinite One. The Omniscient One. The All-Sufficient Creator and Sustainer of all things. Says to you and I today, I am the way. So much so that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is an affirmative. This is a conclusive and very firm and absolutely reliable statement. I am the way. So hear him today say, I am the way. Those words are as certain. Those words are as sure as he is. I am the way. He's telling us something about himself. And what he says about himself is just as certain as he is. Just as sure as he is. That makes this a very notable statement. That makes this an unmistakable statement. This is an extraordinary statement. This is a wonderful, these are wonderful words. These are exciting words. I am the way. There is a way unto God the Father. There is a way for a sinner to come to God. And Jesus says, I am the way. Those are exciting words. Also consider the extent of these words. I am the way. The extent is seen, first of all, in those first two words, I am. That covers all time. Past, present, and future. And every time Jesus says, I am, he is identifying himself as Jehovah. As Jehovah God. The eternal, self-existent one. When Jesus said, I am, he was saying, I am right now, I am at present what I have always been. And not only that, but I will be what I've always been. And I will be what I am. So when Jesus said, I am the way, what he is saying is, I am right now. Right now, at this very moment, I am the way. But I've always been the way. And I will always continue to be the way that I've always been and the way that I am right now. So it is a statement that covers all time. The extent of the statement is also seen in the words, no man but by me. So it is a statement that not only bridges all time, but when it says no man, it is a statement that includes all individuals, all cultures, all places where these individuals live, all happenings, all occurrences, all incidents. I am the way. That is a very extensive statement. I want to spend the rest of our time considering the meaning of those words. Considering the meaning of that word, way. I am the way. I want to consider five things concerning this way. First of all, a way is that which connects distance. Distance is connected by a way. Adam and Eve, before they sinned in the garden, they enjoyed communion. They enjoyed fellowship with God. We all know that they disobeyed God. That communion and fellowship that they had enjoyed was severed. And as a result, man and God were separated. There was now a detachment between man and God. There was now a disconnect between man and God. Paul speaks of this separation throughout his epistles. But in Ephesians 4:18 and also in Colossians 1:21, speaking of this separation, he used the word alienated, meaning, of course, estrangement, distance, and isolation. And man and God are estranged. Man and God now are at a distance from one another. And there is no way you can possibly measure the depth of this alienation. You can't measure it. In Ephesians 2 and verse 12, Paul again describing this distance that exists between the sinner and God, he used the words without Christ, without God. That very word without speaks of an absence. Without Christ, without God. To be without Christ or God means that you sit in dense darkness. It means that you are in the very grips of death. In Ephesians 2 and verse 13, Paul uses the phrase far off. Far away. To again describe the distance between the sinner and God. The distance that exists between an unrighteous, guilty, filthy, polluted, and vile sinner, and a holy, righteous, and pure God, that distance is immeasurable. You can't measure the distance of a sinner between a sinner and God. It is an immeasurable difference. It is an incalculable difference. In a way, connects distance. A way connects distance. Again, you cannot measure this distance between an ungodly sinner and a holy God. But Jesus says, I am the way. So though the distance is immeasurable, Jesus Christ spans the distance. And you and I have no idea. We have no real comprehension of how great a distance, how far away we really were from God. But Jesus says, I am the way. And so doing, He is saying, I span that distance. Secondly, a way is that which makes movement in some specific direction possible. If there is not a way for me to get here to that back wall, I can't get to that back wall. A way makes movement in a specific direction possible. Keep in mind, this is all spoken of in reference to what? Coming to the Father. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So now, though the distance is so immeasurably great between the sinner and God, when Jesus says, I am the way, that means the sinner, it is possible. It is now possible for me, the sinner, to move in the direction of God the Father. A holy and righteous God is inaccessible to an unrighteous and guilty sinner unless there is a way. And if there is a way, it must be a God-ordained way. It must be a God-provided way. A holy and righteous God cannot be reached by an unrighteous, vile sinner without a way. A sinner cannot move in the direction of God without a way. So without a way, there's no hope. But when Jesus said, "I am the way," that gives us hope. Now there's hope for the sinner. So listen carefully when Jesus says, "I am the way." Because that changes everything. Jesus is the one who makes the otherwise inaccessible accessible. God the Father is accessible to the sinner, but only because God has made a way. And Jesus says, "I am the way." So those are glorious words, because it is now possible for sinful man to come to God. Thirdly, a way leads from something. A way leads from something. Now, we've already seen that the unsaved sinner is separated from God. Whether they realize it or not, such a life is a life of misery. And many today are looking for a way out. They are looking for a way out of the misery. Any way out will do. Therefore, they will do drugs, they will do alcohol, and seek various vices. And they may even take their own life as a way out. But listen carefully. Listen carefully, because I can hear Jesus speaking. And what's He saying? He says, "I'm the way. I'm the way." Thank God. There truly is a way out today.
Amen.
Again, a way must lead from something. And Jesus Christ is the way out. He is the way out of the pit of corruption. He is the way out of the enslavement and binding power of sin. Jesus Christ is the way out. No man can get out any other way. He is the way out. He is the way out of the debilitating control of sin and Satan. He is the way out of the thick darkness. He is the way out of the spiritual ignorance. He is the way out of the blindness of sin. Jesus Christ is the way out of the filth. He's the way out of the vileness of sin. He's the way out of the putridness and the defilement. He's the way out of the sickness of sin. Jesus Christ is the way out. There is no other way out. He's the way out of the mire of sin. He's the way out of the muck and the sludge of sin. He's the way out of the depths of sin. He's the way out of the habit of sin. I'm telling you today, when Jesus says, "I am the way," He is saying, "I am the way out of a life of misery." And He's the only way out. There is no other way. The unsaved sinner lives a life, according to Ephesians chapter 2, that is according to the course of this world. A life that is without Christ. A life of having no hope. A life of without God. A life of far off. This is a life of emptiness. This is a life of aimless wandering. A life built upon sand. A life of destruction and ruin. But thanks be to God, there is a way out. There is a way out today. And if you're here today and lost, I want to tell you today, there's a way out of your life of misery. And Jesus says, "I am the way." Again, we hear Jesus say, "I am the way." You don't have to be stuck where you are, because there's a way out. And it's not found in vices. Jesus said, "I am the way." There is right now at this very moment a God-appointed way. It is a sure way. It is a certain way. And it is a way out of spiritual death that holds the unsaved sinner. And Jesus says, I am that way. There is a way out of the guilt that grips the unsaved sinner. Sinner friend, if you're here without Christ, it's not a question of whether or not you're guilty. You are guilty. But there is a way out of the guilt. There is a way out of the alienation that haunts the unsaved sinner. There is a way out from the fearful condemnation that hangs over the unsaved sinner. If you're here and lost today, there is a fearful condemnation that hangs over your very life at this moment. But Jesus says, I am the way, I am the way, I am the way out of that fearful condemnation. He's the only way out. But we thank God there is a way. There is a way out from the terrible enmity of the unsaved sinner. There is a way out of the surrounding pollution and from the confining darkness of sin. There is a way out of the spiritual bankruptcy that grips the unsaved sinner. There is a way out from the despair. There is a way out from the wretchedness. There is a way out from the devastation of sin. There is a way out. If you're here and saved and perhaps have wandered from God to the point that you find yourself once again entangled in the snares of sin and Satan, again, remember those words, I am the way. There is a way out of the entanglements of this world. There is a way out, child of God, from a life of wandering. There is a way out, child of God, from a life of restlessness, from that which is wrong and that which is displeasing to God. There is a way out. But it's not a way of our own making. It's God-ordained way. Fourthly, a way not only takes you from, a way takes you to another place. And Jesus said, I am the way. The Bible teaches that there is life for the spiritually dead. Jesus is the way unto that life. There is liberty for the enslaved, and Jesus is the way into that liberty. For those that sit in darkness, there is light, and Jesus is the way unto that light. For the guilty, there is pardon, there is cleansing of sin. And Jesus is the way unto. For those who are alienated from God, there is such a thing as nearness to God. And Jesus is the way unto. For the condemned, there is such a thing as justification. And Jesus is the way. For those that are at enmity with God, there is such a thing as reconciliation with God. There is such a thing as fellowship with God. And Jesus Christ is the way too. The lost sinner, you're unacceptable before God. But there is such a thing as acceptance with God. And Jesus Christ is the way unto that acceptance. For those who are spiritually bankrupt, and if you're lost, you're broke, you're spiritually bankrupt. There is such a thing as eternal riches. And Jesus Christ is the way unto. There is a life of direction. There is a life of purpose. There is a life of joy and peace. There is a life that is pleasing to God. There is a life of fruitfulness. There is a life of victory over sin, death, and the grave. And thanks be to God, Jesus is the way to those things. Fifthly and lastly, a way not only takes you from something to something, a way can take you through. A way leads through. In this life, and now we want to speak to those who are saved. You and I, the saved, will experience trials. We will experience difficulties. We will experience hardships. We will experience many struggles. There will be adversities of all kinds, burdens of all kinds, stresses and calamities and sorrows. There are many setbacks, and there are afflictions, and there are battles, and there are obstacles. But you and I that are saved, we've already know that Jesus is the way unto the Father. But I want you to also know today, Jesus is the way through all these things.
Amen.
There is a way through the sorrow. There is a way through the difficulties. There is a way through the hardships. In other words, my friend, you don't have to get stuck there. There is a way through. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. He's the way through. In Isaiah 32 and verse 2, we see that Jesus Christ is a hiding place from the wind. He's a covert from the tempest. He's as rivers of water in a dry place. He's a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. In other words, Jesus Christ is the way through the wind. In other words, Jesus Christ is the way through the tempest. In other words, Jesus Christ is the way through the dry places. He's the way through the weary land. He's the way through.
Amen.
The day you and I were saved, we discovered that Jesus Christ was the way unto the Father. And hopefully we've been discovering ever since that He's still the way. And He's the way through also. He's the way through the storm. I'm so thankful today that there is a way. For every lost sinner that might be here today, I'm thankful. And oh, you ought to be thankful that there is a way for you in all your guilt, in all your sin. There is a way for you to approach a holy God. That way is Jesus Christ. You and I that are saved, we thank God that we found the Father through that way. And we thank God today that there is still a way. You see, we that are saved, we've already found Jesus Christ to be the way out. We already found that. We also found that Jesus Christ was the way unto. And we discover every day that Jesus Christ is the way through. Whatever your condition, whatever your situation, whatever your circumstances, all that you might hear Jesus say, I am the way. When you think, been there many times, when you think there is no way, listen carefully. Listen. Because I believe if you listen carefully, you'll hear Jesus say, son, daughter, I'm the way. And then you know what you'll hear Him say? Follow me. Follow me. I am the way. Follow me. In a world filled today with change and upheaval and instability and uncertainty, Jesus Christ is the unchanging way. So whatever your need is this afternoon, I assure you this afternoon, Jesus Christ right now is the way. He's not only the way, He's the way for you. Whatever your situation is, doesn't really matter. Whatever your circumstance is, whatever your condition is, He is the way. And He is the way for you. Follow Him. Obey Him. It'll change your life forever. Amen.